Thank you. We gather in the Lord's house on this beautiful day the Lord has blessed us with to celebrate 75 years in ministry here at First Baptist Elon. Let's prepare our hearts and minds to the one who has called us to gather here in this place today. Okay to clap. As we begin our worship time, I do want to say a special thank you to Kate Booth, who's here with us this morning. Our normal pianist, Burt Powers is under the weather, and we have a fill-in for us today, but it is a blessing to have her with us. Let me first say good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, we can do better than that. Good morning.
Good morning.
There you go. We have to have some energy in this place today. We are excited to gather in the Lord's house this day on this 75th anniversary here at First Baptist Elon. For 75 years, God has placed his fingerprints upon our congregation as the body of Christ here, as he has led us to be the church in this Elon community. And what a wonderful story the past 75 years have been. And we are excited that you have decided to be a part of us, of this storytelling this morning. Because you are that story. You are that story. For those joining us in person this morning, thank you. For those joining us online on Facebook Live this morning, thank you for joining us in that way. I do want to remind you that immediately following the worship service today, all of you are invited upstairs for a time of fellowship and our fellowship hall for our cover dish luncheon. There is plenty of food for everyone. You did not have to bring a dish. Everyone is invited upstairs. There is more than enough food for everyone. I hope you will continue the celebration around the table following our worship service today. If you are a first-time guest with us, thank you for joining us. And it's a great Sunday to join us for the very first time. If you're watching us online for the first time today, this is a wonderful Sunday to join us for the first time. Fill out a visitor's card, drop it in the offering plate as you leave the worship service today, or send me an email this week. Let me follow up with you as we connect here at First Baptist Elon. It's so good to see so many faces. I got to meet, see, and reconnect with so many as you came into the sanctuary this morning, and I look forward to reconnecting with many of you as upstairs in our fellowship hall during our lunch this afternoon. I know many of you have already had that reconnection time, and it will continue to take place this morning during our time of worship and during our time of fellowship lunch. We also know that the Elon community is an important part of who we are. We have been placed here for 75 years to be a part of God's community here at Elon. I extended the invitation to our Elon town leaders, and it's good to have. I do want to recognize Elon town council member Monty Allison, who is with us this morning. Monty, it's great to have you with us as a leader in our community. Thank you for the leadership you provide for our community on a weekly basis here at Elon. And it is good to gather here. Thank you for joining us for worship this morning. Now, if you would, stand with me as we join in a spoken call to worship that is printed in your bulletin and also displayed on your worship screens. I will read the leader part and you will read the people part that's printed in bold. Please stand and join me in our call to worship this morning. In every one of us, there is a longing for home.
It's a longing for a place where we are known, accepted, and loved for who we are.
It's a longing for a place where we are nurtured, guided, and challenged to become more than we are.
It's a longing to belong and to create a home where God's children know they belong.
God calls to us. You can come home now. There is a home for you in my forgiving love. There is a home for you in my living word. There is a home for you in my church, the fellowship of my servant people.
For 75 years, we have called First Baptist Church of Elon home.
And today, our hearts and voices respond. We are home. Come one, come all. The doors are wide open. Welcome home.
Please remain standing as we sing our first hymn this morning, Blessed Assurance.
Oh,
This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from Psalm 19. Hear these words. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens He has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from His pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my Redeemer. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart today, as we gather in worship, be pleasing to the one who has called us here. Let us pray. Eternal God, whose fingerprints we see if we dare to look in the creation of the universe, help us this hour to look and to listen for your fingerprints, your handwriting, and your voice in this place among these people. Connect our temporary praise to your timeless rhythm, your ageless melodies, your everlasting joyful noise. Guide us now to focus upon you, knowing that in you our distractions become new possibilities for ministry. Breathe life into our singing, our praying, our speaking, our listening, our touching, that all these activities might become more than they are. In our worship, we reach out to you, O God, knowing that you have already enfolded us in your arms today, like you have for 75 years prior, and promising to do the same for many, many years to come. We lift this prayer in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This morning, I have the great honor to welcome back to First Baptist Church of Elon a young lady who grew up within these walls at First Baptist, Miss Ivy Archer. Ivy has blessed us with her musical gifts, her leadership in our youth program, and in many additional ways through the years, and it's a blessing to have her back with us today. It's a little funny earlier. Ivy was in my office enjoying breakfast with her daughter Penelope, and she looked around all the pictures in my office and she said, "How dare you? How dare you, David? I can't find a picture of me in here anywhere." And I said, "Well, Ivy, it's because they came and raided my office where all the pictures of you is up there upstairs on the tables." So I said, "Just look." She's accompanied by many family members today. Her husband Amos could not be with us today because he's working at church this morning. But Penelope is with us this morning. They're expecting their second this December, and she is anticipating that, hoping that comes a little bit sooner than December. But it's good to have you back with us this morning. We look forward to you sharing the God's word through music with us this day.
Forever yours, a thousand hallelujahs. Hosannas and a thousand more.
Amen. Thank you, Ivy. If you had a opportunity to be here a little bit earlier when she practiced, it was a duet, not a solo. Penelope joined her. She was singing Baby Shark as Ivy was singing A Thousand Hallelujahs. It was a wonderful duet. This morning, we celebrate our heritage here at First Baptist. On August 8, 1948, 47 men, women, and children passionately answered God's call to start a Baptist church in the small community of Elon College. Birthed as a mission church out of Brookwood Baptist Church, these faithful members first met in the Grange Hall on Williamson Avenue for worship, for Bible study, and for fellowship. Through the 75 years of ministry, that eventually led the body of believers of First Baptist Church of Elon to 621 East Haggard Avenue, the location where we worship and sit this morning. That same call that guided those faithful 47 still rings true today through the passionate worship, through the passionate ministry, and the passionate fellowship of the families that gather faithfully in 2023. We gathered this morning to celebrate our heritage and to honor those original 47 who started it all. Now, as I look out on our congregation this morning, and unless I miss somebody, I think this is the first year in 75 years that we do not have a charter member with us. I am correct on that, I think. If you are a charter member with us this morning, would you please stand? I was pretty sure about that. This year, our church has been hit hard. I've buried 3 charter members this year. But as I look out of the congregation, I can still see 2 who were actively attending over this past year. I still see where they sat every Sunday morning, where they passionately worshiped. They gathered faithfully for 75 years. This morning, we honor them. I do see some of the family members here with us. Today we honor those 47. Take a moment to turn on your back of your bulletin to look at those names. Mr. E.R. Alderman, Nellie H. Alderman, Mr. Roy Alderman, James F. Allen, Ms. W.F. Osley, Mr. W.F. Osley, Miss Virginia Ashburn, Gary Ashburn, Billy Batten, Lucy Batten, Mary Batten, Mr. W.J. Brannick, Miss Floyd and Isabel Brown, Miss Clara Christman, Barbara Christman, E.L. Christman, Robert Christman, Reverend Calvin C. Faircloth, Mr. A.J. Gentry, Dorothy Green, Miss Robert Green, Mr. James M. Horn, Miss James M. Horn, Miss J.H. Hatley, Inez Hatley, Miss Mildred Hilton, Nanny Mae Jackson, Miss Gertrude Lackey, Miss Hazel Metcalf, Janet Metcalf, Miss Amy Nix, Miss E.T. Page, Miss W.E. Parrish, Mr. W.E. Parrish, Mr. Raymond M. Petit, Carolyn Steele Barnett, Mr. Jerry R. Steele, Mr. R. L. Scott, Miss Lil Scott, Annie Mae Wright Maynard, Edna Wright, Mr. Alfred Wright, Mr. Charlie A. Wright, Miss C. A. Wright, Mr. Rufus Wright, Mr. Wilbur Wright, Miss Tom Wright, Mr. T. S. Wright. For many of you, those are just names. But if it weren't for those names that are printed on our bulletin today, you would not be here. So this morning, we are going to stand in honor of those 47 men and women. But as you stand, I want you to pick out a name. pick out one of those names and stand in honor of one of those individuals this morning. So at this time, may we stand, if you're able, in honor of one of those charter members. Let's stand. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, you remind us in Hebrews chapter 12 that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. As we gather this morning on our 75th homecoming, we can feel the presence of those original charter members in our worship this day. We celebrate the generations from the past, the generations of the present, and the hopeful generations of the future that will call First Baptist Church of Elon home. May we each carry that same passion, and may we each follow that same call that guided those original few to step out in faith to get it all started. For them, we give thanks this morning. To you, we give all the glory for your ever-present fingerprints upon our lives and our ministry. In Christ's name, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, I also want to take a minute to recognize a group of faithful individuals who have helped coordinate and plan our year-long celebration of 75 years in ministry. Today is only one day of our many days that have been celebrated over this year, and we will continue to celebrate this year in the weeks and months to come. It has taken a lot of hard work. It has taken taken us in a lot of different directions. And this morning, I wanted to say thank you to those who have had a hand in the planning, not just for this service, but in all the services and all the opportunities and all the ministries that have taken place over this year so far. So if you are one of our Team Hope members, our planning team for our 75th anniversary celebration, would you please stand at this time? Our Team Hope members, please stand. Let's have a round of applause for these individuals. Some of our team members could not be with us today. Some are upstairs in the fellowship hall as we speak. Make sure you say thank you to them as well. I also want to say a special shout out to many who over the last couple weeks have helped get our church grounds prepared, also our church facilities prepared, as they've worked hard to make everything look good. I hope you've also had a chance to look at the landscaping project that took place over this past week out front. If you have not, as you drive out of the church this morning, I encourage you to drive out the front down here at Haggard Avenue and take a look at our church grounds out front. This has been something that we have been praying for some time. But it is good to gather in this place. Now, I've talked enough. Let's sing some more.
Save again.
This morning, our Old Testament reading comes from Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 through 22. Listen to the words about dreams and how God has a plan. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with the top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called the place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow saying, "If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth." I think to myself, 75 years ago, as those 47 men and women and children gathered, could they see ahead to this day? Could they see ahead to us gathering in this place? Maybe not. Maybe not. But one thing I am sure of is this: that same God that called them to gather 75 years ago saw us gathering here in this place on that day. And with that smile, he had a dream. And he placed it in the hearts of those individuals. And for that, it was not a secret to him, and it is not a secret to us now. And for that, we can give thanks.
The chimes of time ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for there is hope for you.
Thank you, men. It was interesting watching people come through the doors, and someone asked me earlier this week, well, how many people are you expecting for homecoming? I really had no idea. I'd heard through the grapevine, oh yes, so-and-so's coming and so-and-so's coming, and I was like, well, that's wonderful, that's great, but I really had no idea how many people will be here today. And it's great to look out on this congregation this morning, to see the smiling faces back at me. It is really a blessing to have each of you with us today. But also, as I saw people coming through the hallways, all of a sudden I started to realize, I'm getting old. And I began to think, I've been here at First Baptist Elon for 30 years now. 30 years. My family came when I was 13 years old. 13 years old is when I came as a teenager with my parents, and I never left. Some might not say that, right? No, I'm saying, so 30 years ago is when I first stepped foot within these walls at First Baptist. And I met many of you for the first time 30 years ago. But through those 30 years, then I got to meet more and more of you. And as I began to meet you, I realized what makes First Baptist so special. It's the people. It's the people that God has led to this congregation through the years, many years prior to me being here and many years since I've been here. 75 years have taken our body of believers at First Baptist Elon in many different directions. Went back through the history books a little bit. We've met in 5 different church buildings. I encourage you to stop at the tables in the foyer as you leave this morning to look at all the pictures, the beautiful pictures of the places that we've gathered to worship through the years. We've been led by 8 different senior pastors, a combined 10 different music and and youth ministers, whether full-time or part-time, have served within our body of believers. We have ventured through the United States and across the world in over 25 different mission trips. Over 50 vacation Bible schools or backyard Bible clubs have been held. At least 75 youth retreats have been taken. 100 choir cantatas have been performed. Hundreds of mission projects have been completed. Thousands of individuals have worshiped together within the sanctuary known as First Baptist Church of Elon. And while the numbers just seem to increase and they can take us in lots of different directions, we can see the guidance of God's hands bringing us together as the family of God. And He brought each one of us here in our own time. It was all a part of His plan. So I want you to venture back in your memory for a second. I ventured back in my memory. Venture back in your memory and think back to the first time that God led you to First Baptist Church of Elon. Think back. What was the date? Maybe you can remember it. Maybe if you don't remember the specific date or the specific year, at least come up with the decade for a minute. What decade did God lead you here to First Baptist? Because in a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand for that decade in which God led you here. Now, it could be decades ago, maybe back in the 40s, maybe back in the 50s. It may be just this past couple weeks. I don't know, but when did God guide you here to First Baptist Elon? And you might be saying, well, I'm just a visitor. God still guided you here. God still led you here, and you're a part of this family if you've sat in this place today. So what decade was that? Maybe you were born into this congregation. Maybe not. But when was it? So let's start from the beginning. This will be interesting to see. Do we have anybody here that started coming to First Baptist Elon back in the 1940s? Is there anybody? I thought Miss Faye. There you go. And Miss Betty. We have a couple. Yep, stay standing. Don't sit down. No, y'all have to stay standing. That's the bad part. That's the bad part, right? All right, what about the 1950s? Who came during the 1950s? Ms. Paula. 1960s. We're starting to see God's fingerprints. The 1970s. The 1980s. God's hands are working. The 1990s. The 2000s. The 2010s. And the 2020s. Now I want you to take a look around to those seats that nobody's sitting at right now. Those are the 2030s. Those are the 2040s. Those seats are the 2050s. Those seats are the 2060s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. Those are the seats that will be celebrated when we celebrate 100 years and 150 years. And many of us I won't be here then. Many of us will not be here. But the legacy that started 75 years ago will continue, because God's fingerprints are upon our congregation. God's fingerprints will still be working in those days. And for that, we can all say amen. Let's remain standing and let's sing "I'll Fly Away."
So the better Russell will be up later, but I'm here now. Let's have a prayer for offering, please. Lord, how many people have come through the doors? How many people have you blessed us with? How many times have we been blessed? As we see each one here, they're made by you and your hands alone. And everyone so special. Lord, give us the courage and the strength and the wisdom to continue on and to love each other and find your ways. Help us to give the offerings we need to give. Amen.
Thank you.
wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary.
So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross, and exchange it someday for a crown.
It is my great honor now to welcome back to First Baptist Church of Elon, no stranger to these buildings and to these walls, Reverend Travis Russell. Travis is the senior pastor at Vinton Baptist Church in Vinton, Virginia. Travis is the son of John and Colleen Russell, two of our active members here, and younger brother to Keith, who is with us today, and his wife and their children. He is happily married to his wife, Whitney, who unfortunately cannot be with us today. She was planning to be with us, but she is also on staff at Vinton Baptist and got the call on Friday that she had to preach on Sunday. So she is preaching as we speak. So Whitney is in our prayers as we speak right in this moment. And she is carrying the staff weight this weekend at Vinton. So we pray for her. But they're also, Travis is also here with his two sons, Carter and Parker. Travis is a graduate of UNCG and Campbell University Divinity School, where he met his wife, Whitney. He's also working on his doctoral work at Duke Divinity School. Have you turned the paper in yet?
Not yet.
Not yet. Is it written?
Yes.
All right. Amen. That's a blessing. So you'll be in our prayers as you finish up that process in the coming months. Travis grew up here at First Baptist, being an active in our children and youth program. He was a royal ambassador, a youth member, a youth leader, a mission trip participant to Ukraine, a youth intern, just to name a few. I was blessed to work with Travis a couple summers here at First Baptist as a youth intern. We enjoyed many days together, many lunches at Hershey's Barbecue, I think pretty much twice a week. I think that was our place to go. And even in those times, I could see the passion for the Lord and his passion for the call that was placed on his life. And I really first saw that Travis had to do a senior project at Eastern Guilford High School. And he decided he was going to do a Bible study. I think it was Philip Yancey's What's So Amazing About Grace, if I remember right. And he invited me to come for that presentation to some of the teachers that he was leading that as his senior project. And as I sat there and watched him, I said, he's got it. He's got the call. And that was a blessing just to see that and to see how that has grown through the years. Travis has served as a minister of children and youth at Calvary Baptist in Reidsville, a two-year chaplaincy program at Alamance Regional, pastor at First Baptist Whiteville, and a pastor of positions at First Baptist Whiteville, First Baptist Graham, and is led now at Vinton Baptist Church. And out of all these things, I am more happy to call him a friend, a brother in Christ. Thank you for saying yes, finally. I've asked him to come for homecoming for 10 years, and he finally said yes, and it was a special year, 75 years. I think he was waiting for a big year.
That's right.
I think that's what it was. So.
That's right.
But it's good to finally welcome you back, and all I can say is welcome home.
Well, it is good to be home, though I will admit, like David, so the last time I came here was 10 years ago, and the youth that were in middle school, when I was an intern, when I came back, they were all getting ready to graduate from college, and then I come back today, and they're all married and have children and lives of their own, so I'm beginning to feel very old, not to mention that just a week and a half ago, I turned 40, and somebody pointed out how many gray hairs are coming in because of that. So, but Whitney does send her greetings. She really wanted to be here today to celebrate with us, but as David said, unfortunately, she is preaching this morning. Our minister of music, who was going to be preaching in my absence, he called on Friday and said that he was sick and he needed somebody to be there on Sunday. So she is with him. But our two boys are here, and we're so thankful for that. Carter and Parker, when I was talking with them last week about coming here, they said to me, so are there going to be people there who knew you when you were our age? And I said, there are plenty. And they got this little twinkle in their eye. And I said, but let me just go ahead and preface that. I said, you know, they're going to tell you some stories. There's going to be some stories about rooftop visits and about heads peeking through those skylights on a Wednesday evening prayer service. And I just want you to know that most of those are folklore and legend. And so there's no reason to try to recreate any of those at Vinton Baptist. But we are so thankful to be here. We said earlier in that reading that we participated in to begin the service that home is the place that loves you, where you are loved and accepted, and you are challenged. It is the place where you belong. And I can say that there is something unique and special about this place. It is home. Because no matter how much time goes by, and no matter how much facial hair Landon has every time I return, this is the place for me where I feel loved and accepted and challenged. This is the place where I feel like I belong. And no matter how many years goes by, when I see you and I hug you and I shake your hand and we welcome one another, it feels like yesterday. And that is a gift. Thank you for inviting me here today. I don't think I've been invited 10 years. Let me just go ahead and clear that up. The first year David invited me, I had just started at Duke, and I said, look, I'm drowning, dude. Let me get back with you in a couple of years. But David told me that the theme for this homecoming is the fingerprints of God. And the theme verse for that is Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. So we're going to be reading from that, and I'm going to tack on a few verses to that, which we're also going to read in that same chapter, verses 19 through 22. This is what Paul had to say. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what He has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we may walk in them. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens,
but you are fellow citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. Now, before we jump straight into that text, I want to ask you, what are the things in this life that you believe have made you who you are? Now, I realize for all of us, that's a bit of a multifaceted question and answer. We're all a bit of an amalgamation of the people and the places and the experiences that we have. But what are the things that you can name on a day when we naturally look back that have made you who you are? You know, according to motivational speaker Jim Rohn, he says that we are the average of the five people that we spend the most amount of time with. And then, of course, in the self-help culture in which we live, there's this idea that we can be totally and completely self-made. That with enough motivation and the right amount of grit, that we can achieve and accomplish whatever we set our minds out to do, that we can be self-made to do anything in this life we so desire. And in Paul's day, this is how many viewed salvation. That with the right motivation and the right amount of grit, salvation could be achieved by one's adherence to the law. And so in our passage for today, Paul is hitting that head on, and he does so in that very first verse, which is one of his most famous lines in any of his epistles. He says, no, you are saved by grace through faith. And then he takes it a step further. He says, this is not your own doing. It is a gift from God. It is not the result of your works. For we are what he has made us. Self-made is not a new concept. It didn't originate when it became its own genre at Barnes & Noble. It's been around for a long time. Adam and Eve ate of the fruit because they believed they could make themselves like God without God. The Tower of Babel was an effort to make for themselves a way to God without God. And then, of course, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they believed that they could make for themselves their own sanctification, their own justification through their adherence to the law without God. So Paul says, before we go any farther down this road, I need you to understand that you are saved by grace. And it is a gift. You are not self-made, for we are what he has made us. And what that means for us today and every day is that we all bear the fingerprints of God. Just as no one who grew up with my mom can look at me and not see her, or just as my boys can't spend 30 minutes with my dad, their pap, and not see where my silliness and sense of humor comes from, we cannot look at ourselves in the mirror. We cannot look at one another or anyone else across the face of this earth and not see the fingerprints of God, because we are what he has made us. Now, the Old Testament version of this is something you've heard many times, Genesis 1:27. So God created humans in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. The gospel version of this is John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things came into being through him. We all bear the fingerprints of God because we were created by God. In fact, to take it a step further, as that triune God, we were all created by Christ, who was in the beginning with God, who was in the beginning as God. All things came into being through him. We were created by Christ. And that's something we have no control over. Just as we can't control the family to whom we were born, we can't control the God by whom we were born. But there is a difference. There is a difference between being created by Christ and being created in Christ. Now just bear with me for a minute. I'm not trying to split hairs with this. We're going to get down in the weeds for just a moment. But in the way that Paul references it, there is a difference between being created by Christ and being created in Christ. By is about beginning. It's about origin. It's about authorship. By is about who. Who created us? Christ did. In is about process. In is about method. In is about how. Which Paul says, we were saved by grace through faith. By grace, that's how, that's who saved us, the one who made us, the one by whom we are saved. We are saved by grace. That's the author, that's the origin, that's something we have no control over. He is the author and perfecter of our faith by whom we are saved. But he says we are saved by grace through faith. Faith is the process. It's about how. It is the method through which we are saved, the process through which we are created in Christ. To put it a lot more succinctly, second century apologist Tertullian said, Christians are made, not born. Christians are made, not born. So my question for you, if Christ makes us, if Christ is the by whom we were born, if Christ makes people and all creation, he's the author, and if faith makes and if faith makes Christians, then the question for me, if faith is the method through which Christians are made, then my question for you is, how is faith made? Specifically, how is faith formed? God makes us, faith makes Christians. How is faith formed? How is faith made? Well, that's what Paul goes on to answer in verses 19 through 22, specifically when he says, you are no longer strangers, but citizens with the saints of God in whom you are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. In other words, what Paul says is that faith is made with the saints in the household of God. Christ makes all of us. Faith makes Christians. Faith is made, then, in Christian community. In their book, you may have heard of it, Sticky Faith, Kara Powell and Chap Clark, they set out on this mission to understand what it is that allows for faith to be sticky in the lives of some and not in others. What is it about faith? What's the blueprint that allows for faith to be formational, to actually stick in some people's lives and for others not so much? So they interviewed 11,000 different teenagers and 20-year-olds and college students over the course of a couple of years. It involved 561 churches over six different denominations, and they came up with these different tenets of faith that allow for faith to be sticky, especially in teenagers and young adults during those formative years. And one of the things they found overwhelmingly so that they heard in all of these different interviews is that for so many different kids and teenagers, for those who their faith stuck as they continued to get older, is that there was at least a 5-to-1 adult-to-kid ratio during their formative years, that there were at least 5 adults in their lives who were encouraging, supporting, and nurturing their faith all along the way. And certainly parents and grandparents and those in the household are a vital part of this process. The household is inseparable from faith formation. But what their research tells us is that families can't do it alone. If there needs to be a 5-to-1 ratio, what that tells us is that families need the larger support of Christian community to come alongside them and be a part of that faith development in their kids' and teenagers' lives. Well, the other thing that they found was that faith must be more than something we do. Dallas Willard calls this the gospel of sin management. A list of do's and don'ts. Do these things, God will bless you. Don't do the things you're not supposed to do, God will curse you. That's the gospel of sin management. That is about faith being understood as something we simply do. And according to their research, that doesn't stick. That's more like just law. What they determined was that the faith that sticks is a faith that surpasses something we just simply do, but is a faith that actually becomes a part of who we are. In order for faith to actually be formational, in order for faith to actually stick all throughout our lives, it has to become a part of our identity. It has to become a part of the very essence of who we are. And according to some of the country's leading sociologists, Tim Clydesdale and Christian Smith and Melinda Denton, how is identity formed? One of the largest places where identity is formed is in community. That the community we are in so many ways, determines who we are and who we are becoming. We are the average of the 5 people that we spend the most amount of time with. Christians are made, not born. And Christian community is where faith is made. So today at First Baptist Elon, we are here to celebrate that for the last 75 years, First Baptist Elon has been and continues to be a Christian community where faith is made. That's most certainly who you've been for me. Along with my family, who has always been a vital part of my faith development and continues to be today, while growing up in this church, my faith was formed through this community. My identity as a Christian was made through this Christian community. As Paul refers to it, my faith was made with the members of the household of God here at First Baptist Elon, members like Janet Lanphier, who never gave up on me and was willing every single Wednesday night during Wednesday night children's music ministries to leave the 99 in search of the one lost sheep who inevitably was hiding from her, sometimes under this communion table and at all other parts of this church. She went to the farthest, deepest, darkest corners of this church looking for me. Janet Lanphier is one in whom my faith was made. My faith was made through members of the household of God, like Willard Barnett, who every single Sunday morning had a stick of juicy fruit waiting on me when I walked in the door. My faith was made through members of the household of God, like Dave Harris, who always greeted me with the warmest of smiles and handshake, and over again in my teenage years would put his other hand on my shoulder and look at me and say, "You're a good boy." And who also threatened First Baptist Graham if they ever did anything to me, they would have to answer to him. My faith was made through members of the household of God, like Alan Spivey, who every single Sunday morning had a Sunday school lesson prepared and delivered, even when he knew it was just going to be the two of us. My faith was made through members of the household of God here at First Baptist Elon, like Norman Harris, who stood with me in those waters of baptism, yet was also willing every year during our children's music ministry to put on that big blue costume that we called Salty and participate with us, and then also offered me some of the most important words on the day of my ordination that he inscribed in the Bible dictionary that he and Judy gave to me, words that throughout ministry I have read again and again and again. And that last line says, "Be yourself, Travis." That's who God called. My faith was made through members of the household of God, like David Durham, who affirmed my call into ministry from the very beginning when I was a junior in high school, who immediately began giving me leadership roles in the youth group. When I started thinking about seminary, who took me with him to Campbell, let me sit in on his classes and meet some of his professors and introduced me to his peers, and yes, who counseled me over many questions over countless plates of barbecue and hush puppies at Hersey's. My faith was made through members of the household of God, like Mark Mofield, who took me on my first hospital visit, took me on my first homebound visit, showed me the importance of preparing, spending the time and making the commitment to prepare a good sermon, but also helped me to see that showing up for people, being present with those on the mountaintops and in the trenches of life, that is where real ministry takes place. And then, of course, my faith was made through members of the household of God, like Margaret Miller, who always encouraged me to sing even when I did not want to, who knew me from cradle roll, but then also welcomed me with open arms on staff as a college intern, and supported and encouraged me, but had one bone to pick with me that finally one Sunday morning as I was walking by her office, she shared with me, she said, "Travis, I love what you're doing and I'm so proud of you, but there's one thing I need to ask of you. At your age and at your size, would you please stop calling me Miss Margaret? It makes me feel incredibly old." I said, "I'm sorry, Miss Margaret, I'll do my best." First Baptist Elon was the Christian community that formed my faith, along with my family. You were the community that nurtured the soil of my life, that allowed the seeds of God's kingdom to sink in, sprout, take root, and to grow. I was able to be created in Christ here because I, time and time again, experienced the presence of Christ in you. This is the place where my Christian faith was made, and I could not be more thankful for each of you. You know, it's interesting to me that out of all of the instructions Jesus could have given, when he was standing with his disciples, getting ready to ascend into heaven, he could have offered them all kinds of words of assurance and given them some sort of Deuteronomistic speech that Moses gave on the shores of the Jordan. But instead, he kept it pretty simple. He said, "Go therefore and make disciples." Go therefore and make disciples. So today, as we think about those words, as we look back and as we celebrate over all the things that have happened and all of the places we have been and all of the people we have known, may we also continue to look ahead by considering what I believe to be one of the most significant questions that First Baptist Elon and Vinton Baptist and every other church can continue and must continue to ask itself, and that is, are we making Christians? How are we forming faith? I was once told in preparation for an interview, the best indication of what you will do is what you have done. The community of First Baptist Elon has made many Christians. That is what you have done. That is what you did for me. And the question moving forward is, how can you ensure you keep making Christians for the next 75 years and beyond? For Christians are made, not born. Thank you. Thank you for being the church that made my Christian faith. So now, may you go, therefore, and continue making Christians, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything Christ commanded. And remember, He will be with you always for the next 75 years. And even to the end of the age.
Travis, thank you for those powerful words this morning. We've heard the testimony of one, and we've heard the challenge that lies before us. Maybe today, for the first time, you've been formed. And this is no better time to offer that opportunity to come forward if today's that day. I'll be down front as we sing our closing hymn, The Bond of Love. And as we sing, think about that forming period. Whether it was took place within these walls or somewhere else, God has been working on your life, and that community has been working on your life. If you're looking for a church home that seeks to make Christians through the formation process, First Baptist Elon could be that place for you. Or maybe you've been struggling. I'll be down front. I'll pray with you. I'm sure Travis will be willing to come down front and pray with you if that's where you feel led today. The altar, of course, is always open. It's God's altar. It's not my altar. Come forward and pray this morning as well. Whatever you're led, let's stand and sing our closing hymn, The Bond of Love.
Thank you.
At this time, I'm going to invite Travis and his entire family, the whole Russell crew. Y'all get to go through the line first upstairs. That hardly happens to a senior pastor, so I'm offering that opportunity for you today. I think you know your way upstairs, so I'm going to invite y'all, if y'all would like to, go ahead and slide out and head upstairs for our fellowship lunch. Again, the invitation is open to everyone. I encourage everyone to stay with us. I will let you also know, if you have trouble walking up the stairs, we are going to have a golf cart out front. Also, the church bus will also transport people upstairs. If you'd like to ride the bus or the golf cart, there'll be transportation right outside the door here to help anyone who would like to go up that way. But as we close this morning, know that we leave in going into a world that needs the fingerprints of God on them as well. Be the stewards that God has made us. As we leave and depart, go in peace and carry the love of Christ with you. Amen.